Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Nonviolent Communication, A Language of Life by Marshall B. Rosenberg, PhD, is a practical work in communication, psychology, conflict resolution, and relationship education. The book presents nonviolent communication, often abbreviated as NBC, as both a language practice and a moral framework for relating to others without blame, coercion, or defensive judgment. Rosenberg argues that many everyday conflicts are intensified by habits such as labeling, diagnosing, demanding, comparing, and assigning fault. In place of these habits, he offers a four-part process observing concrete situations, naming feelings, identifying underlying needs, and making clear requests. The purpose is not simply politeness or conflict avoidance, but a shift toward empathy, honest expression, and mutual understanding. The book is widely used in families, schools, workplaces, mediation settings, prisons, and social change contexts because it translates broad ideals of compassion into repeatable conversational practices. Its enduring appeal lies in combining ethical seriousness with practical phrasing and exercises. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, separating observation from evaluation to reduce defensiveness. A central discipline in the book is learning to describe what is happening without immediately adding interpretation, blame, or moral judgment. Rosenberg treats this distinction as foundational because evaluations often trigger defensiveness before the real issue can be understood. For example, saying that someone is irresponsible compresses many possible facts, feelings, and unmet needs into a single character judgment. NBC asks the speaker to identify the observable behavior instead, such as a missed appointment or an unfinished task. This does not mean abandoning judgment in every philosophical sense, nor does it require pretending that harmful actions do not matter. Rather, it slows the conversation enough to separate evidence from accusation. The practical value is that observable descriptions are easier for another person to recognize, discuss, or correct. In conflicts, people often argue over labels rather than the events that gave rise to them. By replacing labels with concrete observations, Rosenberg creates a pathway toward problem solving. This topic also reveals the book's larger view of language words do not merely report conflict. They can either intensify separation or make shared reality easier to establish. Secondly, using feelings as signals rather than accusations, Rosenberg gives unusual importance to the accurate expression of feelings, but he distinguishes feelings from thoughts disguised as feelings. In NVC, statements such as feeling ignored or feeling betrayed may contain interpretations about another person's actions, while words such as sad, anxious, relieved, frustrated, or lonely point more directly to inner experience. This distinction matters because feelings are treated as signals of what is alive in a person, not as evidence that someone else is guilty. The book encourages readers to build a more precise emotional vocabulary so they can communicate internal states without converting them into blame. This is especially relevant in intimate relationships, parenting, and workplace conflict, where emotional pressure often leads to vague complaints or accusations. Naming feelings clearly can lower the temperature of a conversation because it shifts attention from proving fault to understanding experience. At the same time, Rosenberg does not treat feelings as isolated personal facts. They become meaningful when connected to needs. A feeling of frustration may point toward a need for reliability, clarity, autonomy, respect, or support. This turns emotion into information that can guide constructive requests. Thirdly, identifying universal needs beneath conflict positions, one of the most distinctive claims of the book is that human behavior is driven by attempts to meet needs, and that needs are broadly shared even when strategies differ sharply. Rosenberg uses this idea to reframe conflict. Instead of treating disagreement as a contest between right and wrong positions, NVC asks what needs each position is trying to protect or fulfill. A dispute about household chores may involve needs for rest, fairness, order, appreciation, or cooperation. A political or organizational dispute may involve security, inclusion, dignity, accountability, or effective use of resources. This framework does not erase real differences, but it changes the level at which dialogue occurs. Strategies are negotiable, needs are more likely to be mutually recognizable. When people hear only demands, they often resist. When they hear the need behind a demand, they may become more willing to search for alternatives. This is why NVC treats needs as a bridge between self-expression and empathy. The concept also explains the book's broad applicability. Whether in families, schools, mediation, or social activism, the same method invites participants to move from positional struggle toward shared human motivation. Fourthly, making requests that invite cooperation instead of compliance. The fourth core element of NVC is the request, and Rosenberg is careful to distinguish requests from demands. A request names a specific, doable action that might help meet a need, a demand attempts to control the other person, often through guilt, fear, reward, punishment, or implied rejection. This distinction is practical rather than merely moral. Vague wishes, such as wanting more respect or better communication, often leave the other person unsure what to do. Clear requests, such as asking for a meeting time, a response, a specific behavior, or a check for understanding, make cooperation more possible. Rosenberg also emphasizes that the spirit of the request matters. If refusal leads to punishment or accusation, the original statement was functionally a demand. This creates a demanding standard for the speaker. Clarity must be paired with willingness to hear no. The benefit is that consent becomes more meaningful. Cooperation based on voluntary contribution is more stable than compliance based on pressure. In this way, NVC links everyday phrasing to a broader theory of power, favoring power with others over power over others. Lastly, empathic listening as an active practice in conflict. The book gives equal weight to receiving others with empathy and expressing oneself honestly. Empathic listening in NVC is not agreement, advice giving, reassurance, analysis, or a quick search for solutions. It is an active attempt to hear the feelings and needs behind another person's words, even when those words are critical, angry, or poorly expressed. This is one of the more difficult parts of the method because it asks the listener to resist habitual responses, such as defending, correcting, explaining, or counterattacking. Rosenberg argues that many hostile messages become less explosive when translated into unmet needs. A complaint can be heard as an expression of disappointment, fear, exhaustion, or longing for consideration. This does not require accepting harmful behavior or abandoning boundaries. It means first trying to understand what the message is attempting to express at a human level. The practice is especially important in mediation and emotionally charged relationships because people often soften only after they feel heard. Empathy, in this sense, is not a passive personality trait. It is a disciplined communicative action that can change the direction of a conflict before solutions are negotiated. In conclusion, nonviolent communication is best suited for readers who want a practical method for improving difficult conversations rather than a general theory of relationships. It is useful for couples, parents, teachers, managers, mediators, therapists, community organizers, and anyone who regularly faces conflict across emotional or cultural differences. The practical benefit is a usable sequence for speaking and listening, observe, feel, identify needs, and request. The intellectual benefit is a coherent way to think about conflict as the collision of strategies rather than the collision of human worth, compared with many communication books. Rosenberg's work stands out because it combines specific language habits with a larger ethical critique of blame, punishment, and coercive power. It is not merely about sounding nicer, nor is it only a set of negotiation tactics. Its focus on universal needs gives it a depth that applies across private relationships and institutional settings. The book can appear simple at first, and some readers may find the phrasing unnatural until practiced. Its value depends less on passive reading than repeated use in real conversations. For readers willing to practice, it offers one of the clearest frameworks for turning conflict into more precise, empathic, and mutually responsible dialogue. If you would like to support Marshall B. Rosenberg, PhD, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.